So let's read from Psalm 13. It's just a short psalm, just 6 verses. It's entitled "To the Choir Master," and it's a psalm of David. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him, lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. But I have trusted in thy steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Amen. So tonight, as we come to Psalm number 13 in our series on the Psalms, we come to a psalm that can rightly be called — there's been a number of these already in the book of Psalms, and I haven't really dealt with this theme, but I just want to mention it tonight. It could be called a psalm of lament. And out of the 150 psalms that there are in the book of Psalms, it depends slightly how you count them, but something like 65 of them are categorized as psalms of lament. So about 40% or so of the book of Psalms are psalms in that kind of genre of lament. You know the word lament? They're lamenting psalms. Lamenting personal lament, community lament, church lament, state of the nation lament. The psalmists are lamenting, and they are taking their laments to lament to God. And I came across an interesting question this week in a book someone loaned me, and I was reading the book, and here's the question which someone has said in this book. He says, how many modern worship songs say anything very much about the idea that God might be hidden? See the way it says there in verse 1, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? So this guy, as he's picking up on the theme of lament, he's very much thinking of a psalm like Psalm 13. How many modern worship songs say anything about the idea that God might be hidden? How many sing of questions and of abandonment? Wouldn't it be amazing, this book says, just once to go to one of those big meetings, big events type meetings, and the guy, he calls him the bloke on the stage, picks up his guitar. Wouldn't it be amazing if he says something like, and now we're all going to sing a song about our feelings that God is miles away and is absent somewhere. And then he adds the kind of funny comment, I'm not sure that that would be a great career move for any modern worship leader, but you never know. And you know what I'm saying? At these meetings, they're very often big anthem, celebration, happy type of songs. And there's certain type of gospel meeting is exactly the same, where the songs and hymns are always positive and upbeat. The preaching is bright and cheerful. And I understand why that happens. No one wants to come to church to be depressed. But what about the people who do come depressed already? What about the people who are lonely? What about the people who their lives are full of heartache and pain? And whenever the songs are sung that are kind of happy, clappy songs, it seems to mock them in their pain sometimes. And for them, you know, they come to church and it doesn't really help them if the songs are only happy, clappy songs, only big celebration anthem type songs. Only that type of kind of joyous, you know, we're on the top of a wave and we're cresting along and everything's going well. Because for a lot of people, their experience of life and their experience and their faith is just not like that. And that's why when we come to a psalm like Psalm number 13, we get permission to feel sad as believers. We get permission as believers because here is a psalm of David. And David in the first verse says, how long? How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And notice what he says. How long must I bear pain in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? And I think this is giving us permission, and we need the Psalms of Lament to cover the whole of life so that us as people, we're not always all of us on a high. Many of us are on a downer. And we go through times in our lives when circumstances are against us and we feel there's pain in our souls. We feel there's sorrow in our hearts. And the psalmist here, as I say, is giving us permission and saying to us, it's okay to feel like that as a Christian. It's okay to feel like that as a believer. That's exactly, David says, the way I felt when I was going through my personal circumstances. God just seemed so far away. And God seemed to have abandoned me. And that's what he said. So notice the key phrase there in verse 1, how long? We could call the psalm, how long? Question mark. That could be a title for the psalm. How long, O Lord? Verse 1 also, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Verse 2, how long must I bear pain in my soul? And at the end of verse 2, how long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Four times in two verses, how long? How long? How long? How long? Sometimes I think in spiritual life, we can offer to people, and all of us can do it, and I've maybe done it as well, I'm sure I probably have, over the years, quick fixes. Just pray about it. You know, or we quote the hymn, what a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins are grace to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So just pray about it. It'll all be all right. But if it's not, does that mean the person's faith has failed? Because isn't this what David is saying here in this psalm? How long? How long is this going to go on for? There's no end in sight. How long? How long? How long? David, this man of God, is facing long-term unanswered prayer, long-term pain, long-term defeat, long-term absence of the presence of God, and it's not straightforward. It's not pleasant. It's not easy. And it's not giving him any answers. So, as I say, this is a psalm of lament, and we need these type of songs in our worship. We need these type of prayers in our prayers, because there are times in life when we feel that God has hidden himself away from us. We need to hear that. And I think in Christianity, we need to keep be reminding of that. Because sometimes we do have pat answers and we do have a kind of packaged faith where everything's just handy and we understand everything and we've got it all worked out. For many of us, it's not like that. And if we're really and truly working out our salvation with fear and trembling, we should be facing times like that when we're really searching after God. And just because we're saved doesn't mean everything's sorted. Far from it. Many saved people have major struggles in their lives as well. But notice verse 3, what he does. He says, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Lest my enemies say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes rejoice because I am shaken. What I find intriguing here is that this man of God, who feels God is absent from him, what does he do? He turns to God and prays. It's really intriguing. He just doesn't give up and say, oh, well, Lord, God's far away, so there's no point praying. He prays. Verse 3, consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes, give me light, that lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. This is a prayer written down. Some people disagree with prayers being written down. But the whole book of Psalms is 150 prayers written down. It's the prayer book of the church. It's the prayers of the church. And the breathings of David here after God, even when God feels absent and hidden and far away, David is still turning to God and he's praying, lighten my eyes. The NIV translation is, give light to my eyes. Lord, I'm in the dark. is the implication. I feel like I'm dying, verse 3, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I feel like I'm dying in my personal circumstances. And verse 4, an enemy is mentioned. It could well be Saul. Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed over him. Lest my foes, the henchmen of Saul, most likely, lest they rejoice because I am shaken. John Calvin says on this verse, David is confessing that without God breathing new life into him, he is overwhelmed. For ourselves, says Calvin, the world may threaten us with 1,000 deaths, yet God has an infinite number of means of restoring us to life. And I would put it like this, just using a bit of what Calvin says there. When the world threatens us with 1,000 deaths, God always has 1,001 ways out. No matter how many enemies come against us, no matter how many troubles, no matter how many difficulties we're facing, God always goes one further than whatever's fired against us. And that's a lovely thought. I think it helped me just when I was preparing this, that God is able to bring relief and to restore life and to give light, to make you breathe deeply again and to feel the joy of fresh, cool air. Because sometimes in life we go around and we're in really difficult circumstances, like we're holding our breaths all the time because we're so uptight. Because something really awful is happening and we're just living with that dread and with that fear. I mean, sometimes if I go into the hospital and maybe have an afternoon going around sick folk, especially if there's quite a number of people here in hospital, and you're going around wards and it's stuffy and it's warm, you know, that kind of hospital feeling. When you get to the door, the front door, and the door opens and it's like, and this cold air just goes right into your lungs and right through your body, and it's lovely. It's like a relief from the stuffiness and that kind of clamminess of the hospital. That's what David is saying here. He is saying about praying to God, lighten my eyes, Lord, give me light, lest I sleep the sleep of death, lest my enemies say I have prevailed over him. Lord, give me breath, give me life, give me light, Lord. And the psalmist here is just praying to God. He's not giving up on God. He's praying to God and he's seeking the face of God. Answer me, O Lord. The key phrase there, verse 3, answer me. He's praying for breath. Answer me, Lord. Speak to me. Let me feel your breath flowing through me. Lest my enemy rejoice over me. Lest my enemy destroy me. And so we come to the last two verses, verses 5 and 6. And as he ends, he does something, not just pray, he does something else. We've said that in response to the pain in his soul and the sorrow in his heart, he prays and he turns to God and he cries out to God. But he does something more in verses 5 and 6. I have trusted in thy steadfast love, verse 5. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. David is under serious pressure here. He has enemies. He's in the dark. He feels half dead. He feels spiritually removed from God, very distant from God. It's been a long time from he's had any touch from God in his life. But here, what does he do? He remembers three things. The Lord's steadfast love, verse 5. I have trusted in thy steadfast love. He says, my heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And he says, I will sing, verse 6, to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. The steadfast love of God is the goodness of God. The salvation of the Lord is the grace of God. And the Lord's blessings or bounties are the gifts of the Lord. He remembers the Lord's goodness, the Lord's grace, and the Lord's gifts. And what a method of prayer is being taught to us here. When we come to God, we are to come with thanksgiving. For his goodness, for his grace, for his gifts. That our faith is to be personal. That our faith is to be warm that our faith is to be thankful, gratitude. Somebody has said theology is all grace and ethics are all gratitude. There's a lot of truth in that. That we remember the Lord's goodness and his grace. I mean, even when life is bad, God is still good to us. His grace, I deserve nothing, but he has been gracious. He has given me salvation. I've been saved through the blood of Christ. And his gifts, he has dealt bountifully with me. My cup, well, I might not feel my cup is overflowing at this moment in time. It maybe seems to be draining away. But he still has dealt bountifully with me. And I'm going to trust him. I'm going to believe. I've trusted, verse 5, in thy steadfast love. I'm going to keep believing. I'm going to keep trusting. I'm going to keep going on in my life, even though bad things are happening that I can't get shot off. I still trust the Lord. As I close then tonight, in his commentary on the book of Psalms, Alec Mateer says the following. Periods of anxiety are something we all have to deal with. And Psalm 13, for all its brevity, he says, is marvelous instruction. He talks about, Mateer in his commentary, he talks about the tendency to retire into a corner and to talk to ourselves about ourselves. And he says that only focuses further our attention on our own miseries. If you just talk to yourself about yourself and how painful your life is. But he says the fight back is in verse 3, where the psalmist says, look on me and answer, O Lord my God. Or consider and answer me, O Lord my God. Lighten my eyes. There's a fight back there. And Matthias' phrase is this. Relief is not found inwardly, but found upwardly. Not inwardly, upwardly. And that's why the psalmist ends by dwelling upon the Lord's goodness, the Lord's grace, and the Lord's gifts. For when God gives, he gives permanently. And Mateer finishes his commentary, it's a very short section on this psalm, with a reminder of what happens in a wedding service, where a bridegroom is asked the question about the bride, will you love her, will you cherish her, will you protect her? And he says, I will. I will. And Mateer's point is this, that whenever God says about his church, I will love them, whether in sickness or in health, whether in riches or in poverty, whether in better or for worse, the love of God doesn't change. And life may be hard, there may be sore circumstances, you may be going through sorrow in your heart and pain in your soul, but God still says over your life, I will. I will love him. I will love her. And that's the steadfast love of verse 5. It's a steadfast love. It's not like our loves that are fleeting, but our love, God's love, is a love that sticks, that perseveres, that prevails. Faith Cook is an author of many Christian books, and in one of her books of potted biographies, she's done lots of biographies actually, one of them is called Singing in the Fire, and I like that title, Singing in the Fire. And each chapter has a different person. And she tells a story of Christian men and Christian women who over the years have gone through fiery trials and yet they sang in their trials. And that's what David is doing here. The very end of the psalm, verse 6, he's singing in the fire. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. Life's tough. Life's difficult. God feels far away, but he's still going to sing. And that is a mark of grace, isn't it? That's a mark of the hold of God upon our lives. That we may feel that God has left the building. But God still has a hold upon us. And the fact we're still singing, the fact we're still thankful, the fact we're still believing is the marker of God's grace in our lives. And that he is still at work in our hearts. He keeps hold of his own. The Lord knows them that are his. And he will never let them go. So it's a psalm of lament, but it's also a psalm of encouragement. It's a psalm of reality, I think, as well. It's a psalm of humanity. But it is this psalm of spirituality that we are to pray in these terms. We're not to kind of beat ourselves up, that we're not kind of on the crest of a wave all the time. Because there are these times when we're kind of battered down by life. But nevertheless, we are to keep singing to the Lord, keep thankful to the Lord, keep rejoicing in the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this psalm of lament, and we thank you for just your goodness, Lord God, to us in giving us psalms like this, Lord, and how they remind us that life is not always for us, Lord, boppy and happy, clappy and on the crest of a wave, but there are times whenever life is tough and painful and sore, and when we feel we're in the fire and there's no relief, there's no end in sight. Father, we thank you, Lord God, as we have been instructed tonight that it's okay in such times to feel that you are far away. It's okay, Lord God, to cry after you. It's okay, Lord God, to feel ourselves to be surrounded by enemies and we're being hounded almost to death. But we thank you too, Lord, that we have been shown the way out, that, Lord, your steadfast love never changes, that you've dealt with us bountifully, Lord, and that your salvation, your grace in Jesus Christ is, Father, permanent. It never changes. And our God, we just thank you for that, and we thank you for the reality of that grace and for that steadfast love and for that amazing gift of your love that comes to us in him. Help us, we pray, Father. We're here tonight, Lord, maybe we're here with different circumstances. Some of us, maybe our hearts are literally breaking tonight for one reason or another. We've got pain in our hearts, Lord. We're struggling with life. We're struggling with our faith. We're struggling, Lord, maybe in different areas in our jobs or in our families, and we're just looking, Lord, for help. We just pray like David. Lord, give us, grant us your light. Grant us, Lord, we pray, your light. Lift us up, we pray, Father. Strengthen us, help us, and enable us, Lord God, to sing in the fire, and, Lord, to be believers who practice our faith in dark days as well as in sunny days, and to know, Lord God, that you are faithful and you will never let us go. For, Father, we give thanks and we pray that you'll hear us as we pray through the name of Christ, our Saviour and our Lord. Amen.